The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Could it be that Joe Biden's administration is finally tiring of Israel's excuses for its abhorrent behaviour in Gaza? We're joined by one of our American commentators, Larry Donnelly, lecturer in law at the University of Galway. Because the reason I ask this is because of what Vice President Kamala Harris has said, calling out Israel for not doing enough to ease what she calls a humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza. Is the Biden administration's position changing?
I'm not sure we can say the administration is changing position, but I think its frustration and its anger at Israel, I think, is manifesting itself now. What the ongoing critics of the Biden administration will say is, Vice President Harris is clearly not happy and has finally called out, I think, Israel for what it's done. The language is, look, there must be an immediate ceasefire for at least the next 6 weeks. They'd also say that the Biden administration continues to supply armaments to Israel at the same time. So, yeah, I mean, there seems to be something of a shift, but is this a wholesale, reversal of course? I don't think so. I'd also say that this definitely has its roots in electoral politics, in the sense that an awful lot of people in Michigan, which has a very high Arab American population, and where Joe Biden is down by about 4 points in the polls, an awful lot of them voted uncommitted in the Democratic primary last week as opposed to supporting Joe Biden. And also, Matt, one of the things that doesn't get mentioned very often but should, Michigan is always talked about with respect to Arab Americans, but there are also 180,000 Arab Americans in Pennsylvania, where Joe Biden is less than a percentage point ahead. If they're alienated there as well and Biden were to lose Pennsylvania, I just don't see how he could be reelected president.
But would they consider Donald Trump as unlikely to do anything any differently to Biden when it comes to supporting Israel?
Well, that's the cold, hard political calculation that Democrats are making behind closed doors. That at the end of the day, there might be some disquiet. They mightn't be happy. The prospect of Donald Trump and the Republicans, who they rightly believe to be, with Netanyahu and indeed with even further, right-wing elements in Israel, that at the end of the day, they will come back into the fold. But the problem would be any dampening of enthusiasm that led to a low turnout among Arab Americans, that could be worrying. But on the flip side, Biden and his people don't underestimate, and I think they're wise in this regard, they don't underestimate the political prowess of the America-Israel Public Affairs Committee and the vast resources that they have and will dedicate to defeating anybody who they see as less than a fully faithful ally to Israel. And the last point is, despite the shift much heralded among young people, the polling data suggests that to a far greater extent than certainly in Western Europe, a good number of Americans are still pretty solidly in Israel's corner.
Does that mean Israel feels it can do whatever it likes and will always have the United States by its side?
Clearly. And I think even, we've seen the relationship between Netanyahu and Biden, at least at a personal level, it seemed to disintegrate. But, I mean, look, they walked away from this meeting in Cairo that's ongoing. They seem to ignore much of what America says. And I think part of it is they understand the realpolitik of the situation. They know that they have very powerful friends in high places in the United States who are not going to walk away from them no matter what, and who, despite, it should be said, being otherwise, politically of the left on lots of other issues, the big money supporters of IPAC, really to say, look, the only solution here from their point of view is to eliminate Hamas, and they are prepared, unfortunately, to see some of this horrible suffering continue. If that's the price they have to pay, then some of them, I'm afraid, are willing to pay it.
Could there be a division between Kamala Harris and Joe Biden as to what the administration is doing? Because just quoting again from what she said over the weekend, people in Gaza are starving. The conditions are inhumane and our common humanity compels us to act. The Israeli government must do more to significantly increase the flow of aid. No excuses. She also said that Israel must open new border crossings, not impose unnecessary restrictions on aid delivery, protect humanitarian personnel and convoys from becoming targets, and work to restore basic services and promote order so, quote, more food, water, water and fuel can reach those in need. That is that stronger than anything Biden has said?
Oh, absolutely. And I think you raise a very interesting question. It could well be that there's ideological difference. I suspect there is between where Biden, who let's not forget has long been very much in Israel's corner, there could be some ideological difference between where he is on this and where Harris is on this. There's also a political element here, I suspect, in that Harris may be said to be taking one for the team a little bit, because her making these statements, her making these comments, gives Biden a little bit of distance from between himself and where she's staking the claim. And again, this is all about walking that very fine tightrope of, making sure young people are still enthused about Biden, not alienating Arab Americans, but also not risking the ire of IPAC. So it's a very high wire game that they're playing. And I suspect that's why they've sort of let Harris go out and do the runnings. And this is part of a longer term thing where, let's not forget that the Biden people knew that Harris had the potential to upstage Biden. And that, in my view, is one of the reasons why they gave her the thankless task of policing the Mexican border, which nobody could sort out, and which has led to her favorable numbers being even lower than his.
One final one, and this is not to do with Biden, it's to do with Donald Trump. Any surprise that the Supreme Court unanimously sided with him today, allowing him to remain on the election ballots for the primaries, reversing a Colorado ruling that disqualified him because of his conduct on the day of January 6, 2021, when a mob attacked the U.S. Capitol?
No, I'm not surprised at all. And to be frank, Matt, I'm actually heartened and glad that this was a unanimous decision. I believe that the legal theory that led the court in Colorado to remove Donald Trump from the ballot, I think it's a very weak one. I think it's very deeply flawed. I think if it was accepted, it would lead to the eternal politicization of ballot access in the United States. I think the reality is that Democrats are going to need to beat and dedicate their efforts to beating Donald Trump the old-fashioned way at the ballot.
Indeed. I suppose it also shows that the deep state isn't working to prevent him from him being on the ballot paper. Larry Donnelly, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word of Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today FM.